guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone in the East Coast. Hey, to all the people all over the country who are listening to today's Igniting Change. Oh, we are so happy you are here because we have a great show for you today. Yes, the title of our show today is Dignity for All. Get ready, because we're going to be talking about that Supreme Court argument yesterday, and we're going to be talking about, yes, you know we're going to talk about the renaming of the Francis Scott Key Bridge to make sure that it reflects modern-day real morals around our racial justice, and that we not have this bridge named for a racist. Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that and more, but we want to welcome you to Igniting Change. And of course, I am always grateful to have with me my amazing, absolutely brilliant, hardworking, creative, visionary co-leader. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the chairman of the board of the Transformative Justice Coalition, none other than Daryl D. Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time, because we're talking Igniting Change here on WOL. Barbara, let me tell you, the Igniting Change we're talking about today, it gets it from every end, I think. We're going to talk a little more about the renaming of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, but then we're going to talk about igniting justice, igniting change as it occurs in Oregon, as it goes through the streets and hamlets and towns of almost every place in the United States of America, when we're talking about people that are housing insecure or unhoused or homeless, Barbara. It's just such an incredible topic that is now before us. It's before the U.S. Supreme Court. Hopefully the U.S. Supreme Court, Barbara, does the right thing in that case. But boy, what a show we have lined up today. Can't wait to jump into it and get started and jump into the substance of what's happening, Barbara.
All right, now. Thank you, Daryl. So let's just start with this bridge. Woo! You know, I was on a radio TV show yesterday, WCEG, out of Gwinnett, Georgia, talking about issues nationwide and getting ready for 2024 elections, and talking about our right to vote and all these attacks and assaults on our right to vote. But what was amazing is that the host, amidst all of these really complicated myriad subjects, he asked me about the bridge. And what he wanted to know about the bridge was, you know, what did I think about all these nutcases around the country blaming a foreign country, a foreign ship, for running into the bridge on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, just another, you know, shot at Black people. You know, they're always trying to make fun of us and denigrate us. And I told him, there's that, but then let's talk about renaming that bridge. So, and why we want to take this bridge and make it a symbol of modern justice that we, because some folks will say, well, you know, Francis Scott Key was just a man of his times. No, he was behind his times, because this is the man who was sitting there writing these lyrics during the time that there were so many, you know, there had been so much great advocacy by abolitionists and others to change the nature of slavery in our country, where other nations had already started abolishing slavery. No, he was not, quote, a man of his times. He was a racist. So, Daryl, what have you been hearing since our last show, which was energetic, one of the most popular shows we've done? A lot of people wrote in, been writing, been talking about what happened, and they were really shocked with that letter from the racist who was, you know, basically, you know, just being nasty and mean about this effort. What has been happening since last Tuesday?
Well, Barbara, that's a great question. And, you know, the as you know, last Tuesday we were able to play the message that was received by the convener and the Caucus of African American Leaders from this white woman who really just, I guess, stepped onto the plantation, not stepped off the plantation, I guess, right? Talking about we didn't pick cotton and she didn't own slaves and didn't understand why we were going through all of this. Well, I tell you, Barbara, you know, subsequent to last Tuesday, over at St. John's College here in Anne Arundel County, there's a building that sits there that's named after Francis Scott Key. And this is a historic college. It's actually a school where Francis Scott Key went to school for his undergraduate work, and they named this building after him. Well, they assembled, and this was prior to the bridge occurring, they assembled a group of historians and three white male historians to take questions and to talk about Francis Scott Key, and they're doing a celebration of Francis Scott Key at that university. And I tell you, the most interesting thing, though, Barbara, was this. They were asked the question at the end, given the history of Francis Scott Key, given that his family was one of the biggest slave-owning families in Maryland, that he himself was a slave owner in the state of Maryland, that he advocated for slave owning in the state of Maryland, that he was the advisor to Andrew Jackson, his political advisor to the racist President Andrew Jackson. Do you believe it's appropriate for a bridge, the bridge in Baltimore, to continue to be named after Francis Scott Key? And to a person, each of those historians said no. No, it's not appropriate. It's inappropriate because of what Maryland represents and what Key, with regards to his societal skills at that point, represented, that it was wrong. So since this point, Barbara, you know, the Washington Post has come out with an editorial supporting the renaming of the bridge. The Baltimore Sun has come out with an editorial supporting the renaming of the bridge. We encourage people to go to change.org, rename the bridge, change.org, rename the bridge, and sign the petition saying it's wrong to force folks to deal with a person that did not build bridges but wanted people to be enslaved, and have that bridge renamed to the Congressman Perrin J. Mitchell, who was somebody who built bridges throughout the state of Maryland. So, yeah, Barbara, there's been a lot going on with the bridge. And the renaming effort that is there, we encourage people again to go to change.org, rename the bridge. We are actually going to be hosting Senator Mitchell and members of the Mitchell family. Senator Mitchell is the nephew of Perrin J. Mitchell. We're going to be hosting him this Friday at 7 p.m. At Fort Meade, at Club Meade, 6600 Mapes Road in Fort Meade, Maryland. So we invite everyone to come out to this Perrin J. Mitchell dinner and salute. You can go to Eventbrite PJM 2024 to get your tickets. That's Eventbrite PJM 2024 for tickets. And you'll be there too, Barbara.
You know I'm coming. You know I'll be there because this is a beautiful opportunity. You know, people talk about all kinds of issues, but let's talk about self-determination. Self-determination is about making sure that everything around you reflects your values and reflects the values of the greater good and not the values of a tainted and racist and horrific past. I mean, let's be clear, folks. When slavery existed in Maryland, they worked blacks, you know, from night to day. You couldn't move around without papers. You had to, you know, show that you were, quote, free if you were moving around, or that you were only going from one plantation to work on another. That Frederick Douglass, he was banned from learning to read and write. And when he was taught to read and write, that the woman who taught him was penalized and punished. and they had to move him to another place. I mean, slavery was vicious. They, you know, branded, they hurt, they killed, they maimed our people here in Maryland. Let's not get it confused, people, and all over the country. Let's not get it confused that slavery was an evil. There were slave owners all over this nation, Arizona. Let's talk about California. Let's talk about all the South. And we need people to understand that we have to, you know, be clear that that was morally wrong at the time, and people were saying that, and we're preaching that, we're advocating that, but people like Francis Scott Key were saying the exact opposite. They're inferior people. If they're going to be free, send them to Africa. He said, he talked about, you know, killing blacks who were, quote, disloyal. Come on, folks, let's get clear about who we're talking about. So I just think that it is so important that we rename this bridge. And Daryl, tell people a little bit more about Perrin Mitchell, because, you know, our heroes are under-celebrated. Most of us don't know the names, don't know the history of the brilliant, amazing people who fought for justice in this country, like Septima Clark. People have no clue who I just said. They don't know her. They don't know Fannie. You know, some of them might have heard about Fannie Lou Hamer, but they may not have ever heard of Ella Jo Baker. There's so many amazing people in this world, but let's talk just a little bit about Congressman Perrin J. Mitchell.
You know, Barbara, Congressman Mitchell, you know, he was one of my mentors. I'm always excited to say that of him. But, you know, Congressman Perrin J. Mitchell, he was the first African American elected to Congress below the Mason-Dixon line since Reconstruction. And he was elected in 1971 in the state of Maryland. So he became Maryland's first African-American member of Congress as well. But not only
now,
that.
Wait a minute. You said he was elected in 1971 and he was the first?
Right. African-American elected to Congress below the Mason-Dixon line since Reconstruction.
So 1971.
Right. And you got to remember, and I love telling the story, you know, when Perrin Mitchell was elected to Congress in 1971, his nephew, Senator Michael Mitchell, who will be with us on Friday, tells the story that in 1971, when Perrin was elected, the odds clearly were against him being elected. And what was happening at that point in time is that the ballots that were being counted were counted by the Baltimore Police Department. And the Police Department at that time was about as racist as they came. So you knew that, you know, there wasn't going to be a fair shake with regards to how ballots were counted. But, you know, the Mitchells had sent a team out to watch the police department as the ballots were being counted, and he won by like a whopping 72 votes, 72 votes. So every vote certainly mattered, Barbara. And, you know, with Congressman Mitchell, once he got into Congress, he was an equalizing force. He focused on numbers and he focused on money and how people were being funded. And so, you know, you heard, you know, years ago we used to talk about set-asides, right, federal set-asides. What Congressman Mitchell did was that he enforced federal set-asides so that when there were federally funded contracts, money that was given out by the federal government, that African-American women and business owners of color were certain to receive a percentage of those funds that were coming for these federal contracts. There are so many businesses today that were white-owned by white women that owe their existence to Congressman Mitchell. There are black businesses, there are the Asian businesses, all these businesses owe their existence today to the efforts of Perrin J. Mitchell when he was forcing the federal government to share fairly, to set aside funds, a percentage of the funds that would go for black businesses in those efforts. So, you know, Congressman Mitchell, Barbara, you know, we call him the Mitchell for the congressman for the state of Maryland, because he wasn't just, although elected from Baltimore City and the 7th Congressional District of Maryland and Baltimore City, he really represented all the African-Americans that were throughout the state. And he was there for every issue. Purple Heart recipient, served under General Patton, George S. Patton, just an incredible, incredible man, Barbara.
Yes. And, you know, everyone, one of my favorite aspects of him also, I never had the pleasure of meeting him like Daryl did, but I had the, you know, pleasure of knowing